Hey everybody, this is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken Press, and we are doing a little special summer afternoon session podcast, a little out the coop on the road. Sean and I are out here in Harrisburg. We just got done with the anti-right to work rally that took place on the Capitol steps with the Teamsters that are organizing it as part of a kind of lobbying day to push back against right to work legislation here. And so we thought we'd just give you a kind of quick update from the road. So Sean, it's nice to be in your hometown. And we are at McGrath's Pub, by the way. And so what you're about to hear is the sound of some session beers. So
welcome. Well, I don't know if my beer is a session beer. I'm enjoying the free-willed cloudy with a chance of apricots right now here at McGrath's. But yeah, it was a nice hot day out here in Harrisburg. The humidity broke, you know, after the past like week out here. It's been about like 90, 95 degrees and about 100% humidity. It's actually a nice dry summer day out here. Nice and warm. It's still hot, but it's a nice dry heat out here today.
Nice dry heat. It is indeed, and it was. It was a beautiful day. We'll have some pictures up there. Maybe you caught some of the Facebook Live stuff I posted earlier on today. It was interesting. I mean, you know, you had probably about, what would you say, Sean, about 1,000 people out here today?
Yeah, we had about 1,000 Teamsters and members from other unions out here in solidarity. I saw a bunch of U.S. steelworkers. There was APSCUF was out here.
CWA were out there. A good number of CWA folks.
Saw some ATU AFSCME shirts.
ATU, yep. Saw them in the house. Trying to think what else. Yeah, so it was a good thing. And, you know, basically, as I was saying earlier on the Facebook Live thing, I mean, this is, you know, an attempt to push back against state legislation that is going to look into kind of make Pennsylvania right to work state. Now, Sean, I missed this, right? I got stuck in traffic on 78 on the way in, but Governor Wolf was there, right? And so he seems to be, you know, making a commitment here that he's opposed to this kind of right to work legislation would come forward.
Right. Governor Wolf did speak today. There were some Republicans there who spoke there today. State Representative John Taylor out of Philadelphia. Here's a little fact. John Taylor actually went to high school with my dad. They were graduated together in Northeast Catholic High School in Philadelphia, which is
Write it down, folks. That's going to be a bonus question for the weekly podcast.
You know, obviously right to work doesn't have a chance of becoming law here in Pennsylvania with Governor Wolf in office. But really what I thought today was pretty much the kickoff to the 2018 governor's race, gubernatorial race here in Pennsylvania. You know, Governor Wolf was the first person to speak. He spoke out against the legislation, but it seems like, this is one of the first campaign moves of 2018, and it's really us against them. You know, which side are you going to be on? And he's obviously against the right to work, but, you know, if Scott Wagner or Paul Mango becomes governor day one, it is right to work here in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think that, you know, it's interesting. And we had some of this discussion. We were kind of like behind where they were speaking, behind the speakers, and we were talking to some Teamsters and some other organizers and stuff. And really part of the question is, they're going in to do lobbying, we're going to push, you know, the kind of thing that you're supposed to do, right? Kind of push back against this legislation. But on the one hand, if Governor Wolf does not win re-election, just as you say, we can pretty much guarantee this is, or one of these cases that's going down in the Supreme Court might make right to work in a kind of national law, or a kind of like a ruling that would kind of be, make this a national issue and then make statewide legislation virtually irrelevant. So the big question there is like, is labor, right, and other organizations prepared to ramp things up? And, you know, there's real concern, I think, that members want to mobilize. Members actually, as you saw actually here from when you had the march to Harrisburg, you had a bunch of Teamsters who were out here, and they were basically like, we need to be part of these movements. We need to be part of this kind of stuff, and we're going to fight back. We're going to occupy offices if necessary. We're going to put our bodies on the line. And I really think that's what labor has got to do at this point if we're going to have any hope about pushing back against the agenda that's coming down the pike.
Yeah, there's that. But I also think that they have to really educate their members. You know, you had a lot of union households this past election vote for Trump. That's one of the things that I find is the biggest impediment to the labor movement right now is educating your members. You know, you can't have a labor movement if your union voted for Trump. You know, 50, 55, 60% of your members voted for Trump. That's just unacceptable. And that, to me, is a failure of leadership.
Yes.
You know, it's a failure of leadership, and now it's time to start for that leadership to reckon with their failures and start educating their members. You know, get out of the hallways of the Capitol and start getting into your locals and start, you know, telling your people why voting for Trump was wrong or why, you know, supporting Wagner is wrong and stuff like that.
No, I absolutely agree. And, you know, this is the, you know, these are the seeds that are sown, right? I mean, this is the idea that, you know, for the longest time, and this is, you know, this is the classic battle between a service model of unionism, right, and a social movement model of unionism, right? The idea that, you know, are you going to mobilize, are you going to organize your members, and you see your power as a result of your members being kind of active, politically engaged, and kind of willing to fight, or is it about kind of saying, yeah, your members are going to be happy because you're able to get them X, Y, and Z, whether it's kind of salaries and benefits and so on. And again, some of the people I talked to today, that's exactly what they said, is they said, you know, this is part of what we have to start doing, is we have to organizing our members. Is, you know, they like, and you were there for that one, I think, where you kind of pointed this one guy, and he's like, you know, he likes his paycheck, right? Now we got to get him active, right? And I think that's the kind of thing that it's going to be an uphill battle, especially when you're talking about right to work, the assaults that are coming down the pike. So,
and really the messaging, I think, has to be there too. You know, I think, you know, Rick Smith always said this when we had conversations when I was working with him. You know, if people fought for their paychecks the way they fight for their guns,
yep,
this country would be a lot different place.
Yeah, that's a
and,
great point.
Like, it's one of the conversations going back with Rick that I would always remember. Like, you always go to that, you know. You heard it there today, you know, people living in right-to-work states, their benefits are their salary is 6% lower, their benefits are 20% lower. You know, that's the type of messaging you have to push through to your members, that it's your paycheck that's what's going to have count if, you know, Wagner becomes governor of Pennsylvania. And it's, you know, it's not just going to affect the union workers, it's going to affect the non-union workers too.
Well, and I think that, look, I mean, I think one of the biggest losses that we saw, like, after the 1930s and 1940s and stuff like this, when there were the purges of the socialists and the communists from the labor movement, one of the things that that we lost, right, that we lost over time is kind of a whole other part of the argument there, too, as well. Like, on the one hand, I mean, I think Rick is absolutely right, and Rick, of course, was there today, right? He was there doing interviews for the Rick Smith Show on Free Speech TV every Saturday night at 7 o'clock, just a plug for everybody. And so he was there doing interviews and things like this. And Rick has been has been shouting this from the rooftops for as long as I've known the guy, that you need to organize and kind of members organization. But anyways, back to my point, was saying one of the things that we lost as part of the argument about what's the value of a union is that, yes, there's the kind of, as Rick would say, the kind of radical self-interest, right, of kind of, you know, you need to fight for your paycheck we fight for guns at this point. But also the fact is that, you know, this is what I said in the Facebook Live video too as well. This is about, you know, the battle for, you know, who controls things, right? Do we have the ability to kind of have a voice at the table, right, as part of a kind of a democratic organization at the workplace? Or do we hand over our power to kind of autocrats on the job, right? I mean, that's really what the choice is. And that's one of the things that the kind of the socialists in the movement, right, and even communists from back in the day were so good about doing, is about talking about power and talking about organization and talking about, like, democracy at the workplace. So that's where we go. Sean's laughing at his phone.
Someone posted a picture.
There you go.
All sweated up, standing on the sidewalk.
Yeah, all sweated up for sure. So I don't know, but having said all that, you know, these are kind of more thoughts, kind of, you know, in the aftermath, kind of thinking about it. Having said all that, it was a good showing, I think, today. I mean, you're talking about, you know, for a rally and, right, and then lobbying day,
and right on the heels of the SIU action a couple weeks ago, the budget action. They're going to be coming back up here in a couple weeks. There's going to be another unity rally, I think, I think it's going to be next Tuesday, Monday or Tuesday, they're going to be back up here. So there's going to be another, SEIU is going to have another showdown and put people first budget, you know, continue on the rally they had last week. You know, we were, you know, there's reports that this budget's going to be a get-out-of-town budget where the legislature wants to borrow money to fill in the budget gaps. You know, this is fiscally conservative. Your fiscally responsible conservative legislature wants to borrow money, build debt to pay down the budget and get it done with for this year. And, you know, what I call this, you know, it actually got some little bit of traction on Twitter yesterday, a smoke and mirrorless budget, pretty much.
And part of the playbook, though, right, is it's borrow the money, not raise revenue, right, then cause kind of more debt, and then blame Wolf, right, as part of the election cycle.
Yeah, and one of the things they're trying to do here, one of the taxes they're going to try to raise. Remember back in 2010, one of the things that sunk Dan Adorado was the point of sale tax on beer and alcohol.
I mean, other than the horrible tax campaign that he ran, just saying.
Well, like one of the taxes he wanted to raise out in Allegheny County was a tax where you actually, so you pay $5 for a draft of beer at the bar, which we're doing right here in McGrath's, and then what they want to do is put that tax on the back end. So then you actually get to see that tax when you receive that. It's actually one of the proposals that the Republicans are putting forward and that the government might sign off on. You know, to actually, that tax right there, tax on cigarettes, we're going to be passing a budget with more regressive taxes, more sin taxes, and we're not going to be focusing on, taxing PIT or the natural gas industry.
No, that's right. And look, this is what we always say is like, there's two kinds of power. You got money or you got people. And the fact is that they will continue to do these regressive taxes as long as there is no organized and powerful like resistance.
And I think we saw a little bit of this inside the Capitol today when we went in.
Oh my God.
when we went into the Capitol Rotunda for all about 5 minutes, and it was seersucker day up here on the on the hill. And
this is not a joke, okay? This is actually for real. Thank you. Oh, super, super. This is food coming, everybody. That's why we're... But it was seersucker day. I can't believe it.
And seersucker day is when people dress up in white suits and usually like a light blue, light green, light pink shirt, and a nice
bow ties.
Bow ties and all that jazz. And, you saw people standing up there, and I was pointing this out to Kevin. The people on the Capitol steps were all Republican staffers, all lobbyists, all the people pushing for right to work in Pennsylvania.
Thank you. Got some very spicy wings and some fries going here.
But yeah, and that's kind of like what we saw up here today on the hill.
Yeah, pretty much. It was pretty much the case. Thank you. We have, what was I going to say? There's one other thing I was going to say. It's going to throw out of my head now that I've got these amazing wings in front of my face. So that's just kind of a little update of kind of what it's like on the ground here in Harrisburg. Again, good showing, especially by the Teamsters. Lots of folks out here, awesome energy, and let's hope it carries forward for the summer of resistance. Oh, I know what I wanted to say. Shout out to Reed goes out here. We saw him out here from the March for Harrisburg. They are also up here for a lobbying day. Reed, of course, is a member of Raging Chicken, so shout out to him, and always awesome work that you're doing. So, any final words for the day, Sean?
Let's chow down.
Let's chow down. All right, this is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken Press, and we're going to be eating chicken in just a second here, which is kind of interesting. Anyways, we're out of here. Special On the Scene podcast with Kevin and Sean. Talk to you later.
See ya!